You know, but how many know we're bad?
Oh, yeah.
Only one person admitted to that. Amen. How many know we're bad?
Yeah.
I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know you're bad. Yes. I know you're bad.
I know you're bad.
That's right. I know you're bad. You don't. I know. Amen. Come on, somebody. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be talking about the third enemy of the heart. We've been talking about the mouth. How many know some of us got some big mouths? Amen. Your mouth gets you in trouble all the time. How many know we got some jealous people here too? Amen. And then now, the third thing is the anger. Anger problem. Ever say, oh, no. We're talking about your anger issues. Amen. Oh, no. That's right. We're going to be talking about anger issues. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Amen. Here we go. Be angry. Ever say, be angry. What does that mean? You can be angry, right? That's what that means. It means you can be mad. It's okay. But do not what?
Sin.
Do not sin. Come on, somebody. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That means don't go to sleep in your anger. Why? Because it's going to create a cancer in your life that you won't be able to cure later on because you let it settle in your spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Everybody say evil speaking. Gossip, talking about people. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't talk about me.
Don't talk about me.
Evil speaking. Put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, Lord. We just pray that you have your way here today. Speak to us in this area that we all need to hear about. And that you help us to grow and to change, so to guard our heart from this enemy of the heart. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody says?
Amen.
Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm not mad at you.
I'm not mad at you.
Come on. You go ahead and take a seat after that. I ain't mad at you. Amen. You know, some people deny that they have an anger problem. And people will come to me. Some of them have like, you know, they're just cool. How many know people that are just cool? They're just, you know, just cool, man. All hell is breaking loose and they're just chilling right there with you. How many know people like that? Raise your hand if you know anybody like that. There's only a few hands. Amen. Most of us are angry people. And then, you know, it's funny because when people say, I don't have an anger problem, wait till somebody cuts them off on the freeway and then we'll know you had an anger problem. Right? Wait till somebody talks about your mama and then you will know you have an anger problem. Wait till somebody tries to hurt one of your kids, and we'll know you have an anger problem after that. You see, don't hurt, I know Esther's here, she got her baby, but nobody mess with your baby, right? She'll put on the boxing gloves, and she don't care who you are. I'm sure of it. My wife would definitely become, you. I don't even want to talk about that, amen. But we all have some type of anger issues, because really, anger is something that it's a natural emotion, it's something that we could all have and experience, and I believe it's a gift too as well. God has given us that as something that we could utilize, but it says that do not sin in anger. And basically, anger is not a problem. It's not the anger that's the issue, it's a control issue. You lose control. You lose control of yourself and you begin to be a person that is emotionally unstable when you get mad. How many have ever cried when you got angry? Right? Why? Because you're emotional, right? Why are you crying when you're getting angry? You shouldn't be crying. Why? It's an emotional experience that you're experiencing and when you're getting mad. Now, if you show me an angry person, I will show you a hurt person. Usually that's an indicator of a hurt person, a person that experiences anger. I did marriage counseling for quite a while, and some of you guys know about this, but I remember counseling many married couples, and a majority of them were just anger issues. The husband had anger issues, and even the wife. Sometimes the wife would beat up the husband. It's the truth. And the guy would be like, no, don't tell her that. I'm going to get it when I get home. I'm like, bro, man up. Amen. But they would get beat up by their wives. And it's, you know, it's a true story. And I remember this one guy, he's not part of a church, so I can talk about him. Amen. But he was always having an issue with his wife, and his wife would always talk and talk and talk and talk. And she had an anger problem like no other. And she would beat up on him and slap him and hit him because he did something or said something. One day, he just got fed up. he was outside in the parking lot, and he goes, I am done with being beat up. So he grabbed her from head to toe and threw her in the garbage can. Exactly. And he came to me for counseling after that. I go, I think you're gonna need professional help here. I don't know if I can help you with this one. This is a little severe here. Come on, somebody. Anger issues are sometimes magnified in different ways. We'll find ourselves in different, acting different with, differently with different people because of anger issues. You know that in the Bible, it's been mentioned, anger, the word anger has been mentioned over 233 times. Quite a few times that were just mentioned in the Bible. There's people that had anger issues in the Bible. Well, Peter, when he cut the centurion's ear, right? Right? So I'm going to cut you. And he cut the guy's ear, right? And Jesus said, no, we don't do things like that. Come on, put the ear right back. You know, and there was people that were very angry in the Bible. They had no kind of self-control. You know, and like I said earlier, it's not sometimes the anger is not the problem. It's the hurt behind the anger. You've been hurt and you feel something has been taken from you. So these are some of the things that might have happened to you. Maybe I could verbally say it. Says, you know, somebody took your reputation. Somebody stole your family. Somebody took the best years of your life. Somebody stole your marriage, your first marriage. Somebody robbed you from your teenage life. You've been robbed from your purity. You feel like somebody owes you something. So you feel like your boss owes you a raise. You feel like opportunity has been stolen from you. You feel like you need to have a second chance and nobody's giving you that second chance. You owe me affection. And see, that's what anger declares, is that you owe me something. The root of anger, the perception that sometimes that, you know, people think it's because somebody's taken something from you. And when somebody takes something from you, you feel deprived, right? You following along, Gabe? Amen. You feel deprived. And when you feel deprived, you feel like you need to get it back. How many have ever gotten their house broken into? Right? It didn't feel good. You feel violated, right? Somebody went through your personal stuff and saw everything you had and took it from you without asking you. Taking it. And when it was material, yes, but you also feel something on the inside. You've been violated. Somebody went through all your personal stuff and stole your precious possessions. I believe that in the world today, we face that emotionally. Somebody might have taken your purity. Somebody might have taken your self-respect. Somebody put you down so much, you don't even feel worthy to do anything anymore. Somebody has stolen something from you, and in reaction, your reaction is that you begin to get angry with life. And sometimes we could be doing this for months. We could be doing this for years. We could be doing this for seasons of our life. We could be just living an angry life. And you have this emotional roller coaster that keeps going up and down. And see, I believe this with all my heart, that we can't control people that hurt us, but we can control how we deal with the hurt. Amen. You see, people will hurt us and it'll happen. People will talk about you, right? People will say things or do things, and then you get upset and it's just going to happen. But you can control what happens on the inside. You can ultimately also control this part of your life, but you won't allow your past hurts, your past pains, dictate what your future is going to look like. You're not going to allow, just because you've been abused doesn't mean you have to abuse. Just because you got beat up, it doesn't mean you have to beat up somebody. Your future shouldn't be dictated by your past hurts. So the Bible says right here in Psalms of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 32, he says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Oh, somebody, that's a great scripture. Slow to anger, right, is better than a mighty. Than who rules the spirit. You know what? Another verse says, rules your emotions. If you could just control your emotions, you're better than somebody that would take a whole city. Because sometimes you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you can't control your own emotions. And because of the emotional, you're unstable in your emotions, you react in a certain way, you do things in a certain way, and it'll stop the blessings of God to come to your life. How many here want to be blessed? All right, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, I really want to be blessed. I want you to turn to your other neighbor and tell them, I really, 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 really want to be blessed. I have a box here. This could be a blessing or a curse. I was praying about this. I said, Lord, give me an illustration. Because sometimes you can't listen to preaching. Because you grew up on video games and you can't pay attention to 5 seconds. Oh my God, you feel like you have to do something. So I got to give you an illustration so I keep your attention. Man. Amen? So, you know, you can't stay still. So I got this box for us, okay? I'm going to open up this box and see what we got on the inside. Nice box here. So I have this box, and you can call the box of hurt and anger, all right? And in this box, we have so many things that cause us to react and do things, right? One of them is this. A lemon. My wife loves lemons. She loves lemons. My daughter, she loves lemons. I think you still do, right? All right, Vanessa. How many lemon lovers we have in the house? Lemon lovers, eh? But they're bitter, very bitter. And I opened it up. I can't suck on one, but maybe you can, right? For those lemon lovers, you can just suck on a lemon all day long. But how many? It decays your teeth, right? And you have a problem later with your enamel. But it's because it's so bitter. You know, bitterness, you know, could take you to hell. Did you know that? You don't believe me, huh? Did you know that? Bitterness can take you to hell. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, he says, look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. What is falling short of the grace of God? Right? Falling short of the grace of God. That means God's grace afforded us salvation, right? He says, you're falling short. Why? Lest any root of bitterness spring up and causing trouble. How many know your bitterness causes a lot of trouble? And by this, many become defiled. Do you know that your bitterness is something that happens to you? It happens to you and you begin to deal with it. You see, what happens with bitterness, you begin to carry it everywhere you go. This bitter fruit that you have inside of your life, all of a sudden, everything you look at is through bitter eyes. We look through bitterness. Why? Because you've been embittered. It's inside of you now. You have this bitterness that you carry every day of your life. You've been living this bitter life. I don't know if you're in that place, but bitterness could creep up on you and you don't even know you have it. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 23, he says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Poisoned by bitterness. You know, sometimes you don't know that you've been poisoned. Sometimes you don't know that somebody's put something in your cup. Maybe somebody did something to us when we were kids. And now we're growing up. You're so careful. Because you're so protective with everything you got. Because somebody took something from you. And because you act this way, you have this bitterness. And you're waiting for somebody to take something else from you. And just wait. And all of a sudden we react in anger. Because you don't want that to happen again. Bitterness is inside of you. And you keep living a bitter life. And if you're not careful, it will take you places you don't want to go. You know the other one? Is this rock right here? You know what it represents? It represents resentment. You see, bitterness is what happens to you. Resentment is what happens through you. You see, this rock, if I throw it at you, you might get hurt. Right? Catch it. Amen. Because he was ready to catch it. But you know what happens when a person has resentment? They'll lash out at the very last second. You ever know somebody that was just really cool? And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose and they're just this evil person? There's nobody like that in here, huh? Oh, you know, you're just going crazy. And this rock, you have it in your hand, represents words that you use. And you throw it at people. And because of you, and because of you, and because of you, I am the way I am. And because of you, and because of you, I throw rocks at people. And I hurt people. Why? Because I'm hurt. And you throw rocks everywhere you go. Because of the problem that we have, I'm telling you, because you allow resentment to come in, you resent people. Everybody is to blame because of what happened to us. What happened to us? And this rock becomes not only a rock that we could hurt people, but it also form a rock inside of us. Because all of a sudden you become a rock to other people. Nobody can penetrate. Nobody can love you, right? Because you're so stony now. You're so, see, this is what happens. How many have ever gotten their heart broken?
Yeah.
Right. My heart got broken. And you were sad.
Oh, yeah.
And you were crying. Your heart was broken. Right? Somebody stomped on your heart. Right? I know. Somebody said they were going to do something for you and they didn't. And they left you high and dry. They said they loved you and they left you. Oh, Daniel, I'm sorry, bro. That happened. Amen. And they left you high and dry. Now, this is what happens over time. Because you've been hurt and because of what took in place, you have what's called baggage now. You have all this junk in your trunk. Hello, somebody. You got all this junk that you take with you because that person, he hurt me, right? And it happened and it took place. Now I got all this junk. And the next person I come to, I'm going to hurt them. You see? Because I got all this. Because you hurt me, I'm not going to hurt you. Oh, come on, somebody. That's what happens because of resentment. Because I resented that you hurted me. Now I got a rock to throw at people. Now because you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. You see, we start acting that way. Start being like, nobody can love you anymore. Because now you're hardened. And you might miss out on the love of your life. You might push away the love of your life. Somebody that will love you for who you are because of your resentment. It got quiet up in here. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, why are you so quiet? Can I talk about this for a little bit? Is that all right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. Yeah. Because this is a problem. I see it every day. I see it all the time. I counsel people. This is a problem. And this is a problem. People deny themselves. They say, I don't have this kind of problem. You know what? It's a problem. And not only that, let me get, this is something that I think Dan will like. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a knife here. You see, this box of hate and hurt has a knife in it. And guess what this knife does? What does it do, Dan? Cut. Oh, come on. He knows. Everybody always asks Dan, why do you got that knife in the back? It has a big old knife. And it's like huge. It's like this big. And just walks around and hits people with it, you know? He has this big old knife. You see, this knife cuts. And that's what happens when a person is acting in hurt and resentment and they have bitterness and they have all these things, they tend to cut people. But not only cut people, they cut themselves. And you become this open wound. So that means you become overly hypersensitive. That means I can't tell you nothing. And all of a sudden, you start freaking out. Oh my God. He don't love me. She don't love me. Oh my God. You become over hypersensitive. You've been cut. And this wound is fresh. And how many have ever been hurt in a part of your body? And then you come to church and somebody just taps that one part of your body. It could be your back, right? Like, oh man, I just fell. You know, it could be your toe. Somebody steps on your toe. Am I the only person that happened to? That's happened. So why do you pick the right spot? And people tend to do that. They begin to pick the right spot we're hurt in. We've been cut. And our wounds are open. And because our wounds are open, they're very sensitive. That means we can't tell you nothing. How many of you know people like that? I know there's nobody like that in this church. I already know. But there's those types of people you cannot tell anything. or else all hell breaks loose, right? You cannot tell them anything about them because they're hypersensitive. They're living like an open wound all their lives. Open wound. But not only that, you see, how many thank God for healing? You thank God for healing?
Yeah.
Well, thank God for ointment. Hello, somebody. I want to get healed. You know, but ointment, you know what it does? It provides a layer of protection. It also heals that wound. And you know, when you begin to have this ointment that begins to be poured upon you, all of a sudden, over time, God begins to heal you. How many thank God for church, right? See, church does that. It begins to allow you to be healed. And that's why sometimes we could talk about it. That's why you can come to church and you might have an open wound and I'm talking about this and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear this. Well, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Why? Because you need a Band-Aid. Hello, somebody. You need a Band-Aid. What does Band-Aids do? I'm surprising you guys, huh? You need a Band-Aid. What does Band-Aids do?
They can remove.
Okay, amen. Oh, I got a Band-Aid in here. All right. Walter, since you're the only one in front of me, can you open this up right here? And just open that up for me. Amen. What does Band-Aids do? All right.
Protect things from coming in.
Oh, okay. Amen. They protect things from coming in. Come on, you're close. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can do it faster.
Okay, I'm trying.
You can do it. You can do it. See, I'm trying to see how he acts under pressure here. Come on. All right. Amen. All right. So we got a Band-Aid here. I'm going to put it on me. Amen. It's a defective Band-Aid, but it's okay. I'll put it on my face. Okay. I got a Band-Aid now. And it protects the wound on my face. You know what it does? It gives me time to heal without getting hurt. You know what healing needs? It needs time. You need to allow the time to take place. Sometimes people want to change overnight. You feel like just because you got saved today doesn't mean you're healed for tomorrow. That means healing takes time. Coming to church creates healing in your life. When you come to a Bible study, when you come to prayer, I know you're just looking at this Band-Aid. I'm going to take it off. Amen. Distracted. But it takes time to heal. That's what Band-Aids do. It gives you the time to heal. It gives you that time that you need to get healed because it's sensitive. It hurts when you touch it. But when you put a Band-Aid over it, when you have protection over it, then all of a sudden you have this time of healing. So that's why we come in, we help you, we guide you, we instruct you, we pray for you, we counsel you. Why? Because we know that you need time. Let's take time. Sometimes people want to change overnight. And then the thing about this is this is funny because you, how many know that we're not perfect? How many know that you're all tore up? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I know you're tore up. I know. Right? Now you're all messed up, right? Right? You think you all got it together, right? No. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm speaking to the right church. Amen. So, but it's funny how that we all messed up. We say things we regret. We do things we regret. We look at people, and sometimes how many have you ever seen people you think they're mad dogging you? They're mad dogging you. Oh my God. Are you serious? You start getting all mad because you feel somebody's looking you wrong. You have this problem, and you don't realize that you have the same problem. You could go through some all kinds of battles, and you're not even tripping about the person in front of you, but because you're going through it, you're looking at them all crazy, and then they get offended. They're like, I don't want to go to that church. They're all looking at me crazy. Maybe the brother was just going through it. Maybe the sister was just going through it. You see, sometimes we want grace, but we don't want to give grace. You know, we're a bunch of wounded people that need to be healed. Give us some time. Everybody say time. Give people time to change. Give people time to change. Everybody wants the pastor to be perfect. Guess what? I'm not perfect. Amen. I will say and do things that will get on your nerves. Amen. I will do things that will get on your nerves. But thank God for grace. Somebody said, thank God for grace. Just the way I'm giving you time to change, give me some time to change too. I think I deserve some time. right? I've given you a lot of time to change. I need time to change. But because I have a band-aid in an area of my life, I need that time to change. Now, the other thing that we need, and I stole this from my wife, is medicine. Amen. I had some medicine. How many know people have been sick lately, right? It's like, ew, medicine, all right. You know, oh, this is Victoria Berrios. Amen. This is, oh, man. Ooh, this is some strong stuff. Amen. I'm going to put it down because this is strong. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. But the medicine that we need is something that we don't like. Because with this medicine, how many here like to take medicine?
No.
It's funny. My granddaughter, it was her. She loved medicine. Did you know that? Jacqueline. Yeah, she loved medicine. They were giving her medicine. She was like, ah. I'm like, she's a weird one. She's weird. I know, I couldn't even give a pill to Vicky. She was like, ugh, ugh. I couldn't give a pill to my son. He's the same way. Just even today, yesterday, I told him, hey, I don't like to take pills. They're too big. I'm like, are you still dealing with that? Grown man can't even take a pill, right? Medicine is sometimes not easy to take. But how many know it's necessary, right? For God to do a work on the inside, you need to get some medicine. You know, the medicine is not easy. That's why the Word of God is a medicine, right? When you take in the Word of God, it begins to help you in the hurt and the pain that we're dealing with. You know what else helps you? I love this one. You know what else helps us with the hurt and pain? Laughter. I want you to turn your neighbor to some. Stop being so serious. Laughter is a medicine to the heart, the Bible says. It's a medicine to your heart. Laugh more than you get mad. You know, try to laugh more about your problems than get all crying about it. Amen. A bill comes in the mail and it's PG&E and it says, I'm going to shut you down in 5 days. Ha, 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 ha. Laugh about it. It's just a way that God's going to show up again. He's going to show up. He's going to provide. And then and say the lights do get shut off. Maybe God just wants me to pray in the darkness. Hello, somebody. He's like, I need to get in the darkness and pray. Whatever it is, make the best. I remember I make the best of. I had my lights shut off, put on some candles, and go, this was kind of fun. Right? The kids are playing hide and go seek, and they don't know what's going on. We're just having a good old time because how many know you make life what you make it? Amen. If you continue to be miserable, you will be miserable, and you will make everybody around you miserable. Everybody got to walk on their toes around you. But how many know we don't need to be doing that? Walking on tiptoes. Better not say anything or else I'm going to set some fire off. We can't walk on our tiptoes. I don't want to be living that way. And how many know everybody's going to have problems and you're going to have situations, but because of our resentments and hurts and pains, all of a sudden those things are magnified because of our emotional state, and you begin to be a person that constantly deals with issues and constantly puts rocks against people, and throws rocks, and you begin to have lemons, amen. How many know when life throws you lemons, what do?
Make lemonade,
somebody say amen. But not only that, with this box, I'm not going to drop it. With this box, this is a box of hurt, and this is a box of anger. Now, you can do two things with this box. One, it could be your stumbling block. Or, it could be your stepping stone. I'm about to break it. Amen. My wife is not here. This is her box, right? Don't say nothing. But it could be your stepping stone to what? A higher place. I can't put my pressure because I weigh too much. Amen? But you know what I'm talking about, right? It could be your stumbling block, or it could take you to a higher place. You see, you choose what you're going to do with what happened to you. You can choose. It can make you a person that people are going to run to. Because, oh, I had to deal with the same issue. Well, come over here. This is how I got the victory. Oh, this is what I had to deal with. But let me show you how you get it done. Let me show you how to govern your heart when all hell is breaking loose. Let me show you how to have peace in your life and joy in your life. Let me show you how to get to a stepping stone of all your problems and get to a higher place where people will begin to recognize you now and say, oh, come on. Because you, I don't want to, don't show me in your good times how you're doing. Show me in your bad times what's going on in your life. And I would run to you and I'd say, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did you do it? I want to know how you did it because in my emotional state, I need some guidance. It'll take you to a higher place, or it'll be your stumbling block. Because every time you go back to it, you stumble. You stumble. Begin to fall every time you go back to that place. You X people out of your life. Right? You know, it's funny because people, you get hurt by people. You start excommunication. Right? I unfriend you now. I'm no longer following you on Instagram anymore. You don't get to watch any of my Snapchats anymore. Boom, stumbling block. Right? And you don't, no, because no. Everybody said because no. Because of your stumbling block. You can't forgive people. Why? Because you still have resentment inside you. And you begin to get stuck in that area. And all along, God wants you to use that. What the devil meant for harm, he wants to turn it around for the good. God wants to use that in your life because all of us experience some kind of resentment, some kind of pain, some kind of anger. All of us experience some kind of loss. And some of us feel like somebody owes us something. And you might even think that God owes you something here today. But let me let you know that Jesus paid a heavy price for us today. He paid it on the cross. He rose from the grave. He now has His Spirit inside of you. Now God has given you the ability and the power to live for Him and to get the victory here today. Because He wants your problems to be stepping stones, not your stumbling blocks in life. You see, God wants to do something incredible through your problems. Because if anything, like what we say here, real people, real victory. I want to see real victory here in this house. I want you show me at a young age to be a young man and serve God like Gabe. I know when Gabe gets older, he's going to have young men coming to the church. And they're going to ask him, how did you serve God at a young age? How did you give your life to Jesus at the age of 15 or 16 years old and serve God all your life? How did you do that when you were single and you had no one and you had all your kids and you grew them up in the things of the Lord? How did you do that when you came to church and all of a sudden you were cancer and sickness came into you and you asked God for healing and He healed your body? How did you do that? How did you do that? How did you get the victory? Well, that's what we need in this church today. We need people that know how to get the victory over their circumstances, over their hurt, and over their pain. We need people that can overcome those circumstances of addiction and brokenheartedness, all those things. We need the victory. We need the victory here today. And you know, how can we overcome the enemies? This enemy of the heart, there's two things. We need to decide and declare. Everybody say decide and declare. You need to make up your mind that nobody owes you anything. You need to decide and declare. You don't owe me no more. Nobody owes me anything. You need to decide in your life that from now on, I'm not going to be a person that's going to be feeling like everybody owes me something. But I'm going to cancel the debt. How many here like somebody to cancel your debt? Say, you owe your mortgage. And it says, you got something in the mail that says, your debt has been canceled. You don't longer have to pay your mortgage. Isn't that cool? Yes, Lord. Somebody paid off your car. Like, oh yeah, no more car payments. Right? Wouldn't that be nice? I remember my dad. I shared the story before that. I hated my father. And because of all the things, and I had a lot of resentment, a lot of hurt, and a lot of things I held inside. And it affected my relationship with God because I compared my earthly father with my heavenly father. And so I had that issue with father issues, you know. I don't know if you have any father issues, but I had a father issue. And anybody that looked like my father or acted like my father, I said, you ain't my daddy. You know what I mean? I started acting all crazy and said, you ain't my papa, you ain't my daddy. You know, because I had father issues. I didn't want nobody to father me. I fathered myself. And my dad tried to be my father, I'd always reject him. I said, you haven't been there for me. Why are you going to be here there for me now? You know, I had a lot of resentment, a lot of hate towards him because he was a womanizer and doing this thing. And I remember one time I got saved. I mean, I was like, I got saved. I got legitimately saved. Lord, you know, save me. And then when I got saved, it's like, you'll know when somebody's saved because they'll start acting saved. Hello, somebody. Because you'll think twice before you start cussing, like, oh man, you know. Or you start saying or doing, things will begin to be more, you'll have more reservations with things. You won't be so loose about sinning anymore. You have a conviction. Well, I remember coming home and I saw my dad there and I was just like, walk by and I was saved now. As I walked away and then all of a sudden, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He says, you need to forgive him. I said, I don't want to forgive that. I walked away. I'm walking outside, going down the stairs, and says, you need to forgive him or else you are not going to be blessed in your life. And I turned around and I said, what? God speaks to me that way sometimes. He slaps me in the head. You know, he does this over the head thing. I said, what? I said, oh, man. So I went back. And I went to where he was in bed, and I said, hey, I want to talk to you. What do you need? Well, I want to tell you something. And I said, you know, I gave my life to Jesus, right? Yeah. I said, because of that, I forgive you of everything you did to me. And I love you in Jesus' name. That's what I said. I walked away. He had his mouth open. He didn't expect that from me. And I walked away. I felt such a release, just a release that took place, a freedom that took place. And I felt good. I didn't even know I was holding that. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't even know. You're so used to your resentment and hurt and pain. You get so used to it. And when you don't have it, you're like, it feels weird. You almost want it. You always want to be hurt because you want the attention of people. You know, people, oh, you know, also I didn't feel that no more. I felt like my dad owed me. And then I got older. Everybody say, I got older. Saved for a while, maybe like 3-5 years, I think, close to. And then my dad came over the house, and he came to watch TV. Me and him are having a relationship now, so everything's starting to come together. And then he was the type that he would come over and wash the dishes as he saw the dishes in the sink or begin to cook for me. He goes, son, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, no, I'll just make me a hot dog or something. I don't know. And then he would make some food for me, and then I would be sitting there, you know, eating food, and then the Lord did this again. Amen. Because your dad thinks he owes you. And I go, he don't owe me nothing, but he thinks he still owes you. And I'm like, he don't owe me nothing. Maybe because he doesn't realize that you truly have forgiven him. And then I get up off the couch. Got outside. Hey, give me your keys for a minute. I'm going to look at your car. What are you going to look at? Don't worry about it. Give me your keys. And that's the relationship I have with my dad. You know, like, don't worry about it, right? Just give me your keys. So I gave him the keys. I went. I go, what am I going to do with this car? So this is his car. I'm going to serve him somehow. So I went to go fill up his tank. And I went to wash his car, put Armoralls on the tires, and clean the inside of this car. Brought it back, parked it in front. And then, you know, he was getting ready to leave. And he came outside. And he goes, wow, you cleaned my car. I go, I filled up your tank too. He goes, what? You filled my tank too? And he's like, oh, I'm happy about it. And I just told him straight out, I go, you don't owe me nothing. I forgive you. Oh, man. I forgive you. You know what a remedy of that resentment and hurt that you have? Is forgiveness. It's true forgiveness. Releasing somebody of what they owe you. My dad owed me. He should have been a father to me when I was a kid. He should have been there for me when I was lost and hurting. He should have took me to the game when I wanted to have fun. He should have took me to school. He should have been there when I had school projects. But my dad was never there. I had resentment. I had a lot of resentment. But because of forgiveness, everybody say forgiveness. Because of mercy and grace and because of God, I decided and I declared that nobody owes me anything, including the one that burned me and hurt me. Nobody owes me anything. So let me give you these four things that you need to do. Follow these four steps today. It will help you overcome this enemy that you have today. Number one, you need to identify who you're angry with. Right? These notes are going to help you later. This is the medicine you don't want, right? Identify who you're angry with. Number two, determine what they owe you. Determine what they owe you. You feel you're owed affection. You're owed something. Number three, cancel the debt by forgiving them. Cancel the debt by forgiving them. And number four, don't let the anger build up again. Because how many know it'll start to come up again and again and again and again. And you got to learn how to shove that thing away. The Bible says and declares it, and it gives us a command. As we read our first scripture, it says, cast away all bitterness. Cast away all anger. Get rid of that. Remove that. Take that out. Right? Take that out. And the last thing, Gabe, can you put this last scripture on? Is this. Is Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. And I love this scripture because this is God. How many know God gets angry? Do you know that? God gets angry. I want God to be angry at me. But he does get angry. And verse 5 says, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. His anger is for a moment. That's an example for us. That we shouldn't stay in our anger. That's why the Bible says, don't go to sleep in your anger. Don't live in your anger. Let it be for a moment. But let your favor, let the grace of God follow you everywhere you go. Let God begin to pour into you and say, forgiveness is something that needs to be in the forefront of your life. Not anger or resentment, bitterness, but forgiveness and mercy. How many know it's just a season? Everybody say a season. It's just a season. When God is mad, he shows us it's just temporary. But sometimes we have it forever. We hold anger. We hold it on. Victoria, can you make me wet? We hold anger. We hold anger. We want to live in anger. We want to hold on to it. I want to. They don't deserve me being nice to them. They don't deserve me giving them a ride. They don't deserve. He never, she never, or what? And you begin to say, they owe me. And you begin to act this way. You got to remember. That's not true forgiveness. And when I released that to my dad, and I told him that was a season of my life, and I'm no longer that old person anymore. I'm a brand new person in Christ. I am born again, a believer in Jesus, and I believe that Jesus changed my heart and my life, and I don't want to live that kind of life anymore. I don't want to be an embittered young man. I don't want to be a hurting person anymore. I want to be set free. Everybody say set free. God wants you to be free of this enemy. This enemy that crouches to your heart and takes what life you have in it and take it out. That's the kind of enemy this is. Because of bitterness, it could be your stumbling block or it could be your stepping stone. You decide what you want it to be. Because I believe in this church we're going to have the victory here today. There's going to be people that have victory over circumstances. But one of the areas that I see is that resentment comes in because you see people get blessed and you don't. You see others with things that you don't have. Maybe you have a resentment. Somebody's married and has a family and you don't. You have this resentment. Now you're feeling this. Why is somebody blessed and I'm not? And you feel God owes you. You feel that God owes you something. You feel, God, why can't I be blessed like that person? Why? I can't I be blessed with a house like that person or a nice car or a person that loves me like they got? You ever ask those questions? God, why don't I have those things? And you live that way, wanting things you're not ready for. And you know, if anything you could teach us, anything you could grow in, is patience and waiting for God to bless you. Waiting for the Lord to bless you. You know what he's doing? Sometimes we're waiting for God. Right? Say, God, I'm just waiting on you. You know what God is saying? Mijo, mija, I'm waiting on you. Right? You're still stuck in that bitterness. Because if you take that bitterness out of that relationship, you're gonna tear up that person. That's why you want to be blessed like that? Yeah, but you're not ready to receive that kind of a blessing. Yeah, you want all these things, but it's going to take you away from church. Yeah, you want to be blessed with a great job, but now your job becomes your God. And so on. And God says something, we're waiting on God. No. More than likely, God is waiting on us. He's waiting for us to cast out bitterness. Cast out hurt. Take it away. Hurt people, heal people. That's what happens over time, that when you become a healed person, a whole person, you begin to be that answer to others that they need healing. You're saying, this is how I could help you to get a healing in your life. Amen? You know, in the home, I always tell them, sometimes they want to rush to healing. They say, oh man, I know a program that's 30 days. I know a program that's 90 days. I heard that forever. And all those that say 90, 30 days, they struggle with their addiction all their life. Because they're always looking for a patch job. But if you want God to heal you, right? I'm going to pull it out the box. Right. Pull it out. There you go. This is what the home is to you. A band-aid. Give it some time. Let God heal you. Let God heal the past. Let God heal you from everything. Put that Holy Ghost band-aid on you. Let God heal you over time. You just need that band-aid right now just to get healed. Give it some time. Let God heal you. See, sometimes we think it's just a drug problem. It's not. It's more deeper than that. It just led you to drugs because the pain was unbearable and you wanted to get high to get rid of that pain. But how many know Jesus is our healer? Yes. And He's able to heal that pain. He's able to help you in that pain. He's the one that's able. And so this morning, I just wanted to encourage you, amen, that this is a